Hello, welcome to Red Door Church's podcast. We exist to impact and influence lives. Red Door is a three-year-old church plant in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Red Door is a young and growing church with a passion to connect to God, people, and culture. If you don't live anywhere near Sioux Falls, we would love to invite you to join one of our three online church services. We gather on Thursdays at 7:05 p.m. and Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and 5:05 p.m., all in Central Standard Time. For more information about Red Door, please visit our website at reddoorchurch.net, or you can download our free app on Google Play or iTunes. Thank you so much for listening today. Now let's join Pastor Zach for this week's message.
Well, we are about midway through a series called Marked, and this series we've been kind of taking our time walking through what it means to be a disciple and a follower of Jesus. We've kind of been able to dive in, discover a little bit what that looks like, what that means. And if you've missed any of the weeks, we want to encourage you to check out our online services. You can watch past messages, listen to them, kind of get caught up a little bit with what we've been talking through, and give you a little bit of a recap of what we've been going through. We talked about week one, really the idea that Christianity is not about us pursuing Jesus, but Him pursuing us. That He first came to pursue each and every one of us, to find the treasure, to find us, and to save us. We kind of looked at that idea, how we kind of had understood that. Second week, we kind of looked at this idea of that there is absolutely no way to follow Jesus without Him interfering with your life. Kind of look at the idea of counting the cost of following Jesus. What does it mean to follow Him, to take that step? I mean, if you take that step to follow Him, He gives you a brand new heart, a new life, and you basically lose everything to follow Him. We kind of talked about that. Third week, just last week, we kind of taking the turn here of understanding that our love for Jesus is purely demonstrated in our obedience. That if we truly love Jesus, we'll obey Him. And we kind of talked about the idea of what would it look like if we obeyed Jesus in everything He asks? What would our life look like? Understanding the story and kind of discovering what obedience calls us to. And we're going to look at today kind of continuing the story of what it means. But we're going to take a step forward in what it looks like on our end to follow Jesus. We've seen the last 3 weeks what Jesus does, what He calls us to. But now we're going to focus on what are our steps? What is it that we're called to do? And we're going to look at that today as we study this passage. But I want you to think back, and some of you, this might be a terrifying thought. Some of you, maybe it was a positive, great thought. But think back to the very first day of school, right? The very first day of school, whether it's elementary school or middle school or high school or maybe even college. I think it kind of replicates in all of these arenas. But think back to the very first day of school. I can picture that day, right? You're all dressed up in your brand new school clothes, your new backpack, your new shoes. You walk to school, you dropped off to school, and you arrive with so much expectation, right? So many things come into mind. There's elements of being nervous. Maybe you're scared. Maybe you're worried. Maybe you're not quite sure what to expect. But you remember that moment you get to school, and there's a part of you, I think, in all of us that you kind of have this challenge of, I would just rather stay at home and sleep in, do what I've been doing all summer, than to go out and go to this brand new school, new atmosphere, new environment, new friends, new teachers. And there's a part of us that kind of causes us to go, I would much rather stay here than go out there. Because going out there is going to require change, it's going to require new things, it's going to be all new, and I'm not sure if I'm ready to. I think all of us can remember that moment in life where you get caught in this idea of, it's so much easier just to stay here. But what happens is you have to step out and go. And from the first day of school to the very last day of school, the biggest difference is the last day of school, you look back and go, what was I so nervous and scared about? Everything is perfect. I've met so many friends. I've experienced so many things. But that person, the very first day of school, it's hard for them to see what it's going to look like. Some of us, we have that same idea in our own life. There's so many things that maybe God is stirring us, challenging us, convicting us in, but taking that step, like that first day of school, walking out the door to go and do is so scary. It's so hard. It's so difficult. How do we get past that? We looked at last week the passage in Matthew when Jesus came to his disciples and he said, come, follow me. And that first step to come and follow. But the second part of that passage, he says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And it says that they immediately left everything and they went with him. And we saw over the next 3 years, Jesus' disciple and turn what were fishermen into fishers of men, into men who reached out, who prayed, who healed, who saved, who went after all these people. As Jesus went along his life, he discipled them and trained them and made them into what we read about in Acts. He helped them, he made them into fishers of men, but it required them to go. Today's scripture we're going to read in is two of them. The first one is in Matthew chapter 28. If you have a Bible, turn with me to Matthew 28, a very common scripture in church world. And we're going to read this, and then we're going to read another passage in just a moment. But Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, this is really Jesus' last words to his disciples as he's leaving the earth, as he's leaving them. And he's given them their commission, their call. And what's amazing is this same commission he gave them is still going on today, and it's still a commission for us to continue what Jesus started 2,000 some years ago. Jesus said, here is what you are called to do. Here's what life is all about. And it's good for us to capture this. Matthew 28, verse 18 says this, Jesus came and told his disciples, he gathered them on a hill and he spoke this and he said, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. See, here's what it's all about. We can break this all down to this very simple phrase. Write this down. Disciples make disciples. I know, Zach, you're so profound, right? Disciples make disciples. As a disciple of Jesus, our call is to make more disciples of Jesus. So disciples make disciples. Think of this. We reproduce what we are, not what we say we are. You get that? We reproduce what we are, who we really are, not what we say we are. I mean, come on. You can talk a lot. You can say a lot of things. You can communicate a lot of things. But who you really are is what really matters. And we always reproduce who we really are, not what we think we are or we say we are. We obviously look at the even current political scene and everything, and you see this, is that, you know, presidential candidates say one thing, but we all know that they're someone different. That who they really are is many times different than what they say they are. And for us to understand this, for us to really capture what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, is to understand that I'm first a disciple of Jesus, and when I'm a disciple of him, I'm growing and learning and being developed as a follower of Jesus. But a part of that is that I'm called to make other disciples. A disciple always makes disciples, and we always reproduce who we are, not what we say we are. What I love in this passage that Jesus gives us in Matthew, as his last kind of commission and call to his disciples, as well as to us, he really gives us three statements that I want to look at. I want to break down this passage for us today, understanding this passage a little deeper. Because like a lot of things, we read it and we kind of breeze past it and we go, yeah, we're supposed to make disciples of all nations. But there's something important that we need to understand, really three breakdown statements that are helpful for us. And the first statement Jesus says is this. He says, I have been given all authority on earth and in heaven, therefore go. Therefore go. Jesus said, he's been given all the authority in heaven and on earth, so go. What I love about this is Jesus really kind of emphasizes two things. All power and all authority, okay? All the power and all the authority in heaven and on earth is given to us through him. See, the same power that raised Christ from the grave, the same power that healed and did miracles, the same authority that created all things, the same authority and power that forgives all sins is with us and working through us as we go. So Jesus is saying, he says, all the power, okay, the power that raised me from the grave, the power that created everything on earth is available for you, and it's behind you as you go. He said, it's going to be difficult as you go. You're going to encounter things. You're going to have difficulties. You're going to have challenges. You're going to have obstacles, but all the authority and all the power in heaven and on earth is available to you through Jesus. I mean, we totally miss that, right? We totally miss the concept that this great call that Jesus says, here is your job, Zach, here is your job description. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples, baptizing them and teaching them to obey the word. All of this, your job is this. But I am going to give you all the power and the authority on heaven and earth to back you and to resource you to go and do this. I mean, you can't fail when you have that kind of backing behind you, right? Think about it. I love this in John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus says, he says, again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. The Father who has sent me, the same God who created all things has sent me, we are also sending you out into the world. See, we don't go in our own strength and our ability. We go through his power and through his strength. I love it when our kids, it's funny to listen to, and maybe you did this as a kid, or your kids or nieces and nephews do this. When I tell Kaylee, when Chloe's in trouble and she's done something, typically Kaylee comes up the stairs and says, Chloe pushed me, or Chloe took my toy, or Chloe did this when she's not supposed to. And what happens is this. Mom and dad go, you go tell Chloe to come up here, she's in trouble. Or you tell Chloe to give it back to you. Well, guess what happens, right? You can catch this picture. Kaylee now leaves my presence, and with my authority and my power as a representative of me, she is going to enforce those rules, right? You see, if brother, you know, Roman told Kaylee, you tell Chloe to give back the toy, Chloe's gonna say, who cares? Roman doesn't have any authority or power. But if mom and dad say it, ooh, there's more power and authority behind that. So what? Guess what? Kaylee then goes down the stairs and says, Chloe, mom and dad said you have to give it back to me. Now Chloe is faced with the authority and power given to Kaylee through us. Now Chloe is faced with it because there's something greater behind that than just a sibling. That same idea is what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying, yeah, you're going to go out in your own authority and you're going to encounter problems and obstacles and you're going to go face situations that are so greater than what you can handle. But I've been given all the power and authority, and I'm going to resource you. I'm going to do the work. You just need to go. Just go, and I'll take care of the rest. I have the power. I have the authority. I'll take care of the rest. There's a huge difference when we go, when we have Jesus backing us, than when we go in our own strength. So that's the first thing that Jesus says. It's a huge statement to understand as he kind of intros our job description here. The second statement he says is this. As you go, so you've been given all the power and authority to go out into all the world. As you go, okay, make disciples, he says. As you go, make disciples. And here's how he explains making disciples. He says, do life with people, preach the gospel, baptize them, and to teach them how to obey the words of Jesus. So he says, as you go in the power and authority of God, okay, as you go out through the power and authority, as you go, make disciples. And you make disciples by doing life with them, being around them, by going to them, preaching the gospel of the good news, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them how to obey every word in the Bible. That's his recipe. That's his ingredients. Here's what you're called to do. is to take the authority and power that I have given you through me, go out into the world and to make disciples. I love that phrase he says. Really, the Greek actual wording here implies that as we go about our life, make disciples. Sometimes we switch this around. It's like a separate event. Like, I do my life, I do my church, I do my job, I do my family. And then one part of it is I go make disciples. And the Greek word, and if you look at the New Testament, that's not a separate part of your life. That your life is all about making disciples. As you go about your work, as you go about your life and your job and your career and your soccer practice and shopping at the store, as you go, make disciples around you. They're one in self. They're the same idea, that as you go, make disciples. So as you go to school, as you go to work, as you live in your neighborhood, as you shop, you know, as you spend time at soccer practice, as you go about your routine in life, you're there always knowing, making disciples. Jesus gives us this call again in a little bit more detail in Acts as he's leaving the disciples and sending them off. He says this in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I love it. He says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my what? Witnesses. Simply means to testify by what you've experienced. You'll be my witness of that supernatural life change that Jesus has done. He forgave us and loved us. We're going to be a witness to what's happened to me. You're going to tell people about everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He really gives you kind of a circle circumference, okay? You're going to witness as you go out throughout the world, okay? With your family, your neighborhood, your friends, your strangers, your coworkers. Everywhere you go, you're going to be a beaming witness, a witnessing of what you've experienced, making disciples throughout your life. I love it. Jesus says again in Matthew, as he's preaching the Sermon on the Mount, he says, you are the light of the world. That you radiate the light of Jesus everywhere you go. If this room were to be completely dark and I were to turn on a flashlight, everywhere that flashlight went, it would open up and give way to light. And you'd begin to see areas that were dark before all of a sudden now be visible because of the light. And Jesus is saying, you are the light of the world. You are my witness. You are to make disciples. Your life is that of what you go about being a witness and sharing the gospel to those around you as you go. So we need to understand that making disciples and being a witness, we need to break that down and understand what that means. You see, it's so much easier to do nothing, just to stay where you're at and do nothing. Trust me, most people are far more comfortable just doing what they've always done and being comfortable at it. See, we like comfort, especially in America, right? Anything that we can find comfortable and easy, we typically find. My kids, anytime they're given a task, right? They're gonna find the easiest path to get it done, right? What's gonna take the least amount of work to do what I'm called to do? And unfortunately, we all kind of have that in our life, and we apply it to our spiritual life, that we know by scripture that God calls us to be a witness, to preach the gospel, to go make disciples, but it's hard, it's difficult. We're gonna talk more about this next week, this idea that discipleship is messy. Incredibly messy in life. It's far easier to just be comfortable and stay at what we're doing. But Jesus says, be a witness. That means, you know, like I said, give a testimony to what Jesus has done in our life. How do we do that? Well, how do we talk in front of people? What's our lifestyle like? How do we communicate? What's our marriage? What's our relationship with our neighbors? How do we respond in very difficult situations? You see, all those things you're called to be a witness in. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, if Jesus is the one who's rescued you, he's transformed your life, then how you talk is important. How you live amongst enemies and those who don't like you, how you respond to difficult situations, what your marriage is like, all of those things, the Bible says, are to resemble the gospel. That if that's all someone saw, they would see a clear picture of Jesus and his people. And I have to be honest with you. A lot of times, when people hear how we talk, they see our marriages, they see our lifestyle outside in public, and they'd say, you know what? It doesn't resemble anything about Jesus. It resembles more about their selfishness and their wants than Jesus. Man, we have to look at that and go, my life is a witness. My life is a story. Paul talks about that. Our lives are like a letter written for all to read and see. If people were to examine my life privately and publicly, would they match up? Would they point to Jesus? And if they don't, then we need to get it right. We need to recognize. You see, the greatest influence you have are to those who are the closest to you, your family members, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors. That are the people that God has placed you around to be a witness and to make disciples, to share your life and to share what Jesus has done. It doesn't mean that you have to be perfect because you're going to make mistakes, but it does mean this, that you need to be a witness. And your witness needs to point to Jesus. That if people saw the way you act in your marriage, how you live your life, how you talk, they'd say, wow, there's something different about that person. There's something going on. Go does not mean that you have to pack up your bags and go to a different nation to preach the gospel. We have so much opportunity right around us that we're called to reach, to make disciples. We see that very simply. I recently was out and about with our kids, and you know when you have situations and kids are disobeying, they're being naughty, they're pushing their brother and sister, and there's just a point in my life where it's a situation in this day that I just had enough of it, and I responded harshly. I snapped at them and yelled at them. And in the moment that I did that, I looked around and saw people watching, and I immediately was convicted in my heart. I immediately remembered and thought to myself, this is not Christ-like. This is not being a witness. And I thought to myself, what I need to do is I need to apologize. Apologize to my kids in that moment and ask for their forgiveness. You see, in that moment, I don't believe that I was convicted because I need to put on a perfect attitude and act like nothing's wrong and fake it. No, the reality is I made a mistake, and me apologizing to them in public had a greater influence and a greater impact to those watching because they saw someone who responded wrong but asked for forgiveness and repented to his kids. That is an opportunity to witness. So that's the second statement that Jesus says. The third one is this. He says, I will be with you every step of the way. He says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, it says in the verse. You see, the greatest calling is something that we don't have to do alone or perfectly. This great commission, this great responsibility, this great job description that he calls us to do, we don't have to do perfectly or alone. I mean, that's to me is so comforting to know that he's not expecting me to be perfect. And he's not expecting me to do this on my own, but that he's with us every step of the way. You know, we have his power and his leading to do what he's called us to do. And we see here that Jesus talks about it in John. He says, John chapter 14, verse 23, it says, all who love me and do what I say, the Father will love them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey. But remember, my words are not my own. What I'm telling you is from the Father who sent me. I'm telling you these things, he says, while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. Jesus says, he's leaving. It's the time he's telling his disciples, I'm leaving this earth, but my Father is going to send an advocate, the Holy Spirit, who is going to walk with you every single step. He's going to be personal. He's going to be intimate with you. He's going to know you. He's going to help you. He's going to teach you. He's going to walk with you in every step, that you'll never be alone. The Holy Spirit will be there to help you. And I've been in situations in my life where moments I felt frustrated and alone, but the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, encouraged me, convicted me. Preparing this message this week, I just felt completely convicted. The Holy Spirit was putting his thumb into me saying, Zach, you need to do what you preach. You talk about being a disciple maker. You talk about preaching the gospel and making disciples. You, Zach, need to make disciples. Be a witness. And I felt that conviction, that pressure that only the Holy Spirit can give, stir me and push against me to challenge me to respond and obey what Jesus has called me to do. And the Holy Spirit is there for you. He's doing this in your life. A story that you can read on your own time. I love it because in Acts chapter 8, we see Philip, one of the followers of Christ, being convicted and challenged by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sends him to go down a road. And that's all he says. He says, go down south to the road between Jerusalem and Gaza, and I'm going to send you there. And it says, as soon as he began to walk and head there, he saw someone, an Ethiopian eunuch who was traveling back. And the Holy Spirit said, go walk next to him. And so Philip went and he walked alongside this chariot. And he heard the Ethiopian reading the book of Isaiah. And he turned to him and he said, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian said, how do I understand this unless someone explains it? And he says, will you share with me what it means? And at that moment, Philip began to share with him the good news, the hope of Jesus. And at that moment, the Ethiopian responded. And they looked and they saw water nearby. And he asked, can I be baptized? And Philip took the Ethiopian eunuch, which was against culture for a Jewish man and a eunuch to actually speak, let alone respond to the gospel. And he says he got down and he baptized him at that moment. See, all this was led by the Holy Spirit. That Philip didn't go in his own strength or his own ability. He simply obeyed the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit said, go and do that. And he simply went. And we see here that the Holy Spirit opened a door for Philip to share and to speak to this person, this eunuch. And in that moment, Jesus began to work. You see, so many times we put preaching the gospel and evangelism and discipleship all on our abilities. And I need to know this tool and this way, and I need to be ready for this question. And we try to line up all these perfect scenarios. And I'm not saying those things are wrong, but in reality, it's simply just being available and being obedient. You could simply be in the grocery store and the Holy Spirit say, why don't you go up that person and pray for them? And we're thinking to ourselves, oh my gosh, I'm going to be embarrassed. But if you do it, God is doing something. You could walk up to them and say, you know, I want to pray for you. And they could simply go, you know what, I'm struggling in life. I'm contemplating this. And I can't believe that you would pray for me, really? And then God opens doors and does something. See, those moments right there, those are many times are the extreme moments. It can simply just you being obedient to the Holy Spirit saying, go take a meal to your neighbor. Go mow their yard. Ask them to come over to your house for a meal. It can simply just be a simple act of caring that would then open the doors for Jesus to draw that person to himself, and you become that conduit, that opportunity, that tool to do it. So we have to understand this in this context, that it's in his power, it's in his strength, it's in his leading that we do all this stuff. So it removes the weight off of us to figure out every scenario, every situation, to figure out the perfect way. And all we have to do is simply be a witness. I love it when he says that, be my witness, because a witness just simply says, this is what I was, this is what I saw, this is what's happened. That's it. Doesn't require you to have a seminary degree. Doesn't require you to know every book of the Bible. It doesn't even require you to have read the entire Bible. It requires us to simply go and be obedient. To go make disciples, Jesus says. Go simply implies this, that you can't stay where you are. Jesus is making this very clear in this passage. This entire purpose and mission for us is going. He says, go. It implies you can't stay here. You have to go, 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 go. I love this phrase, and I want you to write this down as we close out our time. This is what I want you to capture, that you can't follow Jesus and stay where you are. I don't believe it's possible. You can't follow Jesus and stay comfortable right where you're at. You're gonna have to go and reach out to share the news, to help the poor, to care for the widow, to share the good news. You have to step out and go. To follow means to go, and going requires us to engage with others outside of us. Let me say that again, because I think it's important for us to all understand this. To follow means to go. And going, guess what? It requires us to engage with others outside of us. So it requires us to go out into the world, into our neighborhood, into our schools, into our workplaces, and begin to make disciples by witnessing to Jesus, about Jesus, preaching the gospel, baptizing them when they respond to the gospel, and teaching them how to read and live what Jesus tells us to do. It's so simple, yet we complicate it so much. But it begins with us first being a disciple. Be a disciple who makes disciples. Let me close in prayer and challenge us in this. Who is it in your life today that needs Jesus, that needs hope, that needs love, that needs mercy? Who is it within arm's reach that you can express and share your life with? Who could you begin to make a disciple? It doesn't mean that you have to get them perfect and have to figure everything out. It simply means as you go, preach the gospel, be a witness, share life and teaching them. Who is it in your life? And I want to challenge you, whoever that person is that the Holy Spirit has put on your heart, begin to pray for them and ask the Holy Spirit, just like he did with Philip, bring opportunities for you to spend time with them, to share with them, and to love on them. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your call. So many times it seems daunting for us to do what you've called us to do, but God, I can rest in your word. I can rest in your promise that we have all your power and all your authority behind us, and it's through your Holy Spirit, God, that you lead and direct us. We just simply need to be obedient to go and to help and to share your word. So God, I help us, every person watching, that you would give them a person in their mind, God, that you're stirring, that you're already working in their lives to bring them to a place of knowing you. We love you so much. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a good week, guys.